Last week we spoke about, welcome back everybody. Last week we spoke about issues regarding, beginning of issues regarding shidduchim, what to look for in a shidduch, how shidduchim are made, you know, the idea of people, two young people getting together and how they began to get together. So today we ended off with this at the end of last week about what should a person look for in a shidduch. And then today we're also going to talk about problems with shidduchim. What happens when a problem comes up? And how do you address the issues that come up vis-a-vis a shidduch and challenges that can come up during a shidduch as well. So I'll give out some sheets. Let me see. Take one, pass it along, and we will get started. Okay. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the Shulchan Aruch. This is from the Shulchan Aruch, Eben HaEzer, Siman Beis. Okay, that a person should try to find for him an appropriate wife. Okay, and we're going to talk about what is considered an appropriate wife.
Is it only a man looking for a
wife? Yeah, he's looking for the wife.
And a woman can look for her.
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, you're looking for an appropriate wife, and the woman's looking for an appropriate husband at the same time. You're looking for a good match. Now, obviously, by the way, it's interesting to note that when the Shulchan Aruch was talking about matches, right, they weren't. It was really matches of families. You know, you're looking necessarily for qualities, but the couples. You'd ask Rabbi Yosef Karo, how many times should the couple? Rabbi Yosef Karo is the author of the Shulchan Aruch. How many times should the couple meet before they get married? What would his answer have been?
Never.
That's technically not true.
Once.
Once. Why once?
I don't know.
Make sure they're the gerdos.
What?
For the gerdos.
Why once? Why not just not? Why at least once?
So they'd recognize each other when they saw each other again.
Well, they'll know sooner or later. Why should they see each other once? Because the halacha is that you shouldn't marry someone who is visually repulsive to you. Because what do you do? Now you're stuck with this person you're repulsed by for the rest of your life. So at least you have to know, you have to be able to look at them at least one time to know. Oh, right, exactly. Like most people are in the category. And, if that's the situation, then fine, you can make a go of it, it'll be fine. But you have to know that beforehand. You can't marry somebody without actually ever having seen them. Okay, so therefore, then what are shidduchim all about? It's all about unions of families. You want to choose the best family. You want to choose the best prospects for your future, you know, son-in-law or daughter-in-law, etc. So, says the Shulchan Aruch, Lo yisha adam isha shiyesh bashum pisul. A person shouldn't marry a woman that has any psul. A psul here in the Shulchan Aruch is talking about someone who's prohibited to them. So, for example, if you're a Kohen, who may you not marry?
A divorcee.
You may not marry a divorcee. Or a Kohen can't marry a Ger.
Or somebody who has an adopted child.
Somebody who has an adopted child? A Kohen can marry
someone. Felisa.
Can I marry Felisa? No.
Someone who's...
I'm not a Felisa.
They tell me I can't marry a Kohen.
Oh, you're a Chalutza. Yeah. You're a Chalutza? Your husband has a brother who's alive? Interesting. Oh, wow. It's very rare. That's a very rare thing.
Yeah, we had quite a scene. We didn't even...
I'm sure. A ton of rabbis came to see it, right? You fit in the shoe and everything? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely have to do it. It's a din d'oraisa. We don't do yibum anymore. But with the chalitza, we absolutely do. You have to do it. Otherwise, she can't get married anymore. She would be in aguna. Okay. So, moreover, Hagar, the Ramah says... Let's say you marry an isha psula, mishum mamon, for money. So then you're going to have inappropriate or misbehaving children. And so it's a bad thing to marry a woman for her money. Okay. What happens if you marry the right woman for money? Is that good or bad?
Good.
What?
Good.
Yeah.
Why bad?
I always heard if you married for money, you pay for it the rest of your life.
So I'll tell you an interesting source. This is actually, the sources say, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you marry a woman who's not psula to you, meaning a woman who you're allowed to for her money, that's a great thing. In fact, because remember, it's not, you heard, Dennis, as you heard about marrying women for their money even though you didn't like her. Right, but let's say you knew nothing about her, and you were going to marry somebody.
Oh, and she happened to have
him. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Right, so that's exactly what Arach HaShulchan says, that you should just know that historically... In what? What could be bad? Historically, in Jewish families, let's say you had a son, let's say you're a rich man, you have a daughter, so who do you want your daughter to marry?
A rich man.
No. No, you're rich. You got money.
An Eloi.
An Eloi, right, a Talmud Chacham. And what would the deal be? He should learn. So, who's he marrying for? He's not marrying her for her looks. He never saw her before.
Money.
He's marrying her for the money. And that was considered a very shrewd deal because then he got to sit and learn. Otherwise, he'd be sitting around making shoes all day. So much for his Torah.
He had to see her once.
Right. He had to see her once. But he wasn't, it wasn't a relationship marriage. Okay? So therefore, but we start with the first thing that a person has to worry about when they're making shidduchim is, can this young man marry this young woman? It's a very, very fascinating case. I was in Israel, and Rabbi Wiener told us the following story. He said that there was a rabbi who came to Rabbi Yoshua with the following case. It was a young girl whose mother was pregnant when she was converted. And the mother converted when she was pregnant. It happens. Very good. So what's the status of the girl? Is she a Jew or is she not a Jew?
Oh, pregnant with her.
Yeah. She's pregnant with a daughter.
Wow.
Okay? Is the daughter a Jew or not a Jew?
No, yes. She's
a Jew, the whole daughter. She's absolutely a Jew. She was, right. But the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch states clearly, that she cannot marry a Kohen. So this rabbi made a mistake, and he told this family that you're a Jew for everything, and no questions whatsoever. So along came this girl. She started dating. She went out, and then they got engaged. And she found out, the boy found out that her mother converted, because any rabbi worth his salt, when he's about to marry a couple, will ask, are there any conversions in your family, any divorces, anything like that, that we have to know about in order to clear up any possible issues. So she said, yeah, my mother converted when I was pregnant. But that's not a problem.
The mother was pregnant.
Yeah, so what happened was, so the rabbi came to Rabbi Eliyashu, and he said, you got to get me out of this. It's a terrible thing, and that this couple's going to have to break up because of me. And Rabbi Yeshiv said, I can't change the Shulchan Aruch. You know, there's a lot of things I can do, but I can't change everything. And the couple had to break up.
But what if she had been born committed. After the mother had converted?
If she had been born after the mother... No, she was born... The question is, when is she conceived? If she was conceived after the mother converted, then she's 100%. No, 100% Jewish.
Then she's Jewish.
Right. But this is a case where her conversion was in utero. Meaning she was converted in a sense also. So even though she's really a Jew, she's not considered a convert. Okay. For this one issue, she's considered a Giyaris, and she cannot marry a Kohen.
She's considered a full Jew.
100%, yeah.
It kind of speaks to when life begins a little bit.
100%. To some degree, sure.
Contradictory.
No, not really. Because even in Judaism, a child in utero is not 100% life. That's why we always sacrifice the child's life for the life of the parent.
Mm.
And if a person would, what's the word, let's say would injure a woman, a pregnant woman, and thereby killing the utero, the child in utero, that is not considered murder halakhically. Halakha never considers it a full life. You're not allowed to abort. It's a life. It's a part of it's a partial life, but it's not a full life to that same degree. So halakha is usually is pretty consistent on this issue. Yeah.
Nobody said that the son was domestic as we have no more. The son that raised his sister.
Yeah, I'm known. We learned about this. Right.
Now, she said that she would be okay for him to marry her because her mother converted before she was born.
Her mother converted before she was born, before she was...
After she was born or she was conceived.
I don't remember the exact case. I know what you're talking about.
Right.
Right. Wasn't her mother, wasn't she from a different father, I think? That's why her mother converted, she was from a different father.
She wasn't from David,
that's exactly the point. Okay, let's go on. Okay, Bey, kol ha-mishpachos, every family is v'chezkas kashrut. Meaning, you don't know the Schwartzes from, do you know the Schwartzes from Brooklyn? Yeah, we all know the Schwartzes from Brooklyn, okay? So, is it a good family? Is it a not good family? When I say good family, not good family, I don't mean are they involved in their community. What I mean is, are they kosher? Or are they mamzerim or not? So every family you don't know about, you can assume that they're kosher. Okay? And you can I read this last week, I think. And you can marry Lechachila. But nonetheless, Afa Piken, in Ra'ita Beis Mishpachos, if you see two families, Shemisgaros Bazu Bazu Tamid, they're always argumentative. Obeys many Adam Shemisgarin Zebazar, two people that are always fighting. Ra'ita Mishpacha Shehi Ba'alat Matzah Umariba Tamid. You know, you go into the family, you ever go into a house, and they're always just screaming at each other. I mean, I don't know so many people like that, to be honest with you, but they're always, you know, yelling or arguing. Or you see a guy who's always fighting with someone. The eyes climbing the yoser. He's very, very brazen. So, you know, it's so interesting that people, in the shidduch world, people do check up on one another. Right? So they'll call and they'll say, you know the Katz family? Oh, I know the Katzes, sure, very prominent family, wonderful Baal HaChesed, great. So you call him, you say, hey, Dennis, you know the Katz family? And he says, can you hold on 1 second? And he puts you on hold, comes back and says, yes, how can I help you? Right? Do you know the Katzes? I've heard of them. You know, so all of a sudden you're starting to get, well, can you tell me about them? I'm not really comfortable speaking about other people in my community. So all of a sudden, what do you know?
It's not what you say, it's what you don't.
Yes, right. You know what I'm saying? So then all of a sudden, so the Shulchan Aruch says, Ra'ilihi made him. You stay away from that. Who wants that? You know, so but then you get into very interesting issues. What does it say about a child? Let's say the parents are like that. What does that say about a child? You know, this we're gonna talk about this in a different area.
On the other hand, I grew up in a home like you described.
Uh-huh.
It was so apparent that I saw it going, I decided that I wasn't going to be like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it isn't that you're going to be like that because you see it in front of you.
I think we brought this up last week. Let's say you brought up about divorces. Divorce in the family.
But
you know,
people yell at each other all the time. Unfortunately, you know.
Maybe it's because it become part of the child in a sense that it's very difficult to sort of separate them from that. You know what I'm saying? Or let's say sometimes a child who came from suffered a loss when they were young. See, it's not fair. But on the one hand, you want to have a child who has parents and has good relationship with the parents, or it doesn't really matter. So we in our community say, you know, we would judge the child more on his or her own merits. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in black and white, the parents, and there's something to be said for that, that the parents have an influence on their children. And it's a factor, I would say. It should not be a factor that you would ignore. And we're going to see this tension in other halachic areas as well, as it comes up.
Are you obligated to indulge in Lashon Hara if your whole family is not so good? If somebody's talking about shit, are you supposed to tell the truth?
Yeah, you're right. We're going to talk about that too. This is what we're going to talk about today. But is it Lashon Hara? And what are the limits of Lashon Hara?
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting question. You know what I'm saying? What if somebody was talking about me and said, oh, I heard Rabbi Spolter got up and yelled at somebody in shul? That's probably true.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, argumentative, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can paint anyone in any way you want. Can you not? It's very easy if you're looking for something. All right. So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
A little bit. Let's know if you can be a whole semester itself.
It can, yeah. I'm not thinking about Lazarus Stephen, but it's a very good issue.
What if that family, that couple has married, that nobody really looked back into when the mother was converted?
Yeah.
And, okay, they've married.
Right.
Now you find out that the mother converted while... Can you force a divorce?
That's a tragedy. You hold up the Beis Din can't force a person, but he's obligated to divorce his wife. The Kohen marries a divorced says, we don't give him aliyah to shul because he is a halal. He defiled his kahuna. He's commanded. He is a mitzvah. No matter if it's on purpose or not. No matter if it's on purpose or not. Very often, situations come up that are tragic. That it's nobody's fault. You know what I'm saying? And what can you do? It's a terrible thing. You know, what's a mamzer? Is it the mamzer's fault? A mamzer is a child born of an adulterous relationship or an incestuous relationship. So you say, why are you punishing this child for being born? You're not punishing the child.
It's 10 generations. The
child is the child. The child is what it is. It's not a question of punishment. It's a question of reality. You know, and you have to feel you have to feel sympathetic to the child, or in this situation, in the marriage. You know, you hear stories. I think Rabbi Lau told a story once. Rabbi Lau was at a convention, an OU convention. He told a story. A gentleman walks in, and in Israel, everything is under the Rabbanut. Right? If you want to get married, you don't go to Rabbi Spalter, you go to the state clerk. And so when you want to get a marriage license, instead of going to the Secretary of State, you go to the Secretary of State there? Right, you go to the Rabbanut HaRashit's office. So this gentleman comes in, and Rabbi Lau, he was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv at the time or something. The gentleman walks into the main office in Tel Aviv, and he says, okay, I want to sign up to get married. And he wants to sign up, and before long, this guy is just screaming bloody murder, screaming at the top of his lungs. So Rabbi Lau comes out, and he says, come into my office. He says, what's going on? So he tells this whole long story about how he fell in love with this woman, and she's such a wonderful girl, and it's just so terrific, and everything is going great, and they register to get married, and they find out he's a Kohen, and she's a Giyor. And so Rabbi Lau says, I can tell you from here till tomorrow that he's going to hate the rabbis, but I can't allow them to be married. That's the halacha. So these tragedies, they happen in real life, especially when people are not knowledgeable people. But the halakha, the Torah says that a Kohen can't marry a Grusha, can't marry a divorcee, and there's nothing you can change. What? It happened to him? No.
So if they run off of Cyprus.
I know, but there were families in the shul that happened to. Yeah.
In your example, if they run off of Cyprus and get married over there and then come back to Israel.
Right.
Can the rabbi force them to?
No, absolutely. The rabbi can't force them to do anything, but they're just not there. Then they're civilly married in Israel. That's a loophole of the law in Israel for civil marriages, but not, they're not. It's not halachically, it's not permitted.
So their children would be considered mamzer?
No. We're going to talk about that also, but no. Because mamzerim are only the product, halachically, the mamzerim are only the product of an adulterous or incestuous relationship. Okay? But a kohen who marries a grusha or someone prohibited to him, the offspring is what's called a halal, which is a defiled kohen. That kohen can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but that person is allowed to marry other Yisraelim. Okay? Yeah, they can get married. Right. Their children can. The only problem comes up when, God forbid, if there's an incestuous relationship or a child of adultery. And that's a real serious
child
problem.
Of, let's say, the Kohen and someone forbidden for Kohen.
Right.
That child isn't considered a Kohen then?
A Kohen Kala.
Okay.
Right, defiled Kohen. Look at number Vav in the middle.
And then that Kohen has the child, is that one all right?
1 second, if that child has another child, it can be equal then. Kohen
no,
Kala.
The Kohen Halal.
Has another child? I don't remember.
No, the child of the Kohen, you
know. Kohen Kala with another, with a Jewish woman?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Good question. Vav. La'olam Yishtal Adam Yishtal Bash Talmid Chacham. So a person should always make an effort to marry, and we're page one, the daughter of a Talmid Chacham. Right? U'l'hashi Bito with Talmid Chacham, and his daughter should marry a Talmid Chacham. La'masu Bash Talmid Chacham. Yishtal Bash Gedolei Hador. So meaning, when a person chooses marriage, then he should choose a marriage to the most prominent people you can find, you know, the people of your stature. Next, Zion, skip, we're going to skip a little bit, okay? Lo Yisha Adam Isha Lami Mishpacha Nitzura'in should marry a woman from family of lepers. Lami Mishpacha Nichmin, a family of Nichmin are people who are lame, I think. That's if you know it's something genetic. Now, this is a very interesting topic. What would you say if you knew you're going out, you know, they called you up, Dennis, and said, we got a great guy for your daughter. He says, oh, wonderful. Said, but we happen to know there's a history of cancer in the family. Right, what would you say? Well, people have asked me this question. And my first response is, there's a history of cancer in every family. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, so people very often, when they come to marrying off their children, they become microscopically engaged. That, you know, well, I want a genetic testing for every single possible disease, and only someone is perfect. And there is nobody who's perfect. Who doesn't have a relative who had a heart attack, God forbid, or somebody who had cancer, or something like that.
Maybe it's time to add for better or for worse to our ceremony.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay, that's one. But what do you do if, God forbid, let's say the child, this person, the young man, had cancer when he was a child and was in remission for 8 years. Should I tell you that right away, or do I not tell you? Do I have an obligation to tell you right away, or can I withhold that information when I set it up?
He went through radiation.
No, not radiation. I don't know. He went through cancer and he was cured.
There
is a difference.
What if the child has, I don't know, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
The question is fertility.
Yes, that's the point.
The chemotherapy and radiation effect.
That's the only question you're worried about?
That's a big thing.
So here's the problem.
I think it's my grandson.
Here's the problem. The problem is when a person has, I don't know, pick a minor disease. They didn't sprain their foot, but they have Crohn's. Okay, it's not a minor disease if you have serious case of Crohn's, but you can get married and live a full life with Crohn's disease. Okay, very good. So, Steve, somebody calls you up and says, I got a young man for your daughter. I mean, it's a little early for you. Not that early. It's getting there.
They're coming quicker, right.
They say the days go slow, but the years go fast. That's what they say. I heard that today. Now, should they tell you, would they expect them to tell you if a young man had Crohn's disease?
I would expect to be told sometime in the process, maybe not right up front.
Why? Why not up front?
Well, I would think you allow a first or second date to see if there's anything potential, and if there is, then you bring that up as one of the factors.
Why would you want to know that in the beginning?
Because it's not a life-threatening kind of
situation. Very good. Absolutely. This is what I've heard Rabbi Willig say this. I really the Rosh Hashiva and Yeshiva University, and this is what he advocates, exactly that approach. Because really?
After the third interview. Yeah, right.
Right. Because it's very good. Because it's unfair if you have a choice. Five people call you up and they say, "I've got five boys for your daughter," but you're not going to pick the one with Crohn's because who needs that? But he might be the best one for your daughter. So therefore, in order to make this, it's a factor. A person's illness, a person's physical well-being is a factor in making the shidduch or not making the shidduch. But it's not the only factor. It shouldn't be the most primary factor. Therefore, I think you said it so well, that you let the couple meet for a few times. You know, to me, I would say 4 dates usually. They say, you know, one or two, you don't really know anything.
They have the 2-day rule in New York. After the second date, before they can go on the third, they have to submit their genetic numbers.
Really? All right, but that's a different story, because then, if they're not compatible, if they're interested in going further, right, that means that they're interested remotely, they submit their numbers and see if there's a point in going out again. But here we're talking about using, after 2 dates, you know you're interested in the person just going out with them again. 3, 4, 5 dates, you already know I'm interested in this person. Once you're interested, you say, okay, there's one more piece of information you need to know to put it into perspective. Because then it becomes a factor among all the other factors that you're able to weigh. As opposed to in the beginning, like you say in the very beginning, it becomes the only factor. You say, oh, hi, Bob, I've got a Shomer Shabbos guy. He can never work on Saturdays. You want to see his resume? What's he going to say to you?
Not likely.
Not likely. Right. But once he knows he's a quality person, he really wants him, then he can't work. He doesn't work on Saturdays. All right, we'll figure it out. You know, find a way. Yeah,
what is freedom of religion? Isn't it? I guess you can't be prejudiced against freedom of religion
in America. So right. America can't prosecute you, but a person is allowed to have their own attitude towards anyone they want. You can't obligate somebody.
They're not hiring you because you're a Shomer Shabbos.
Right. Right. Well, he didn't do so well in this thing. Page 2, please. Go to page 2. This is also from the Guide to the Women in the Mitzvot. Okay, we're going to look at some just broader sources, and then we're going to look at some of the more specific cases that came up in Halakha. Okay, Section 6, Character Test and Their Limitations. So obviously, and I happen to think this is absolutely true, especially in today, so much more than a person's, I guess, degree or accomplishment, character is so fundamental to, you know, the nature of a person. And it's something that doesn't necessarily fundamentally change over time. I mean, a person can change his character, but in general, if they're a giving person, if they're a loving person, if they're a dedicated person, that's the kind of person they're going to be. So even more than all some of the intangibles that people ask about, like looks and, you know, money and family prominence, character is such an important one. So let's look at the Gemara. Amar Papa with Yivama 63a. Quote Zavin Ara, acquire property in haste. Jump and acquire property. Miton, Nisiv Itisa, but be patient about marrying a wife. Rashi says, wait until you examine her deeds, lest she be malicious and quarrelsome. So, I mean, we in our communities, we are hopefully in a situation enough, we know the couple engages with each other enough that they're able to experience each other in different situations. Okay, and actually Gemara says, Nachis darga, v'nasiv itisa. When you descend a step when you choose a wife, Shake darga ubachar shushbina. Ascend a step when you choose a friend. Says Rashi, do not take a woman more respectable than yourself, lest you be unacceptable to her. Meaning what? What? It's not a matter of her being the boss or not. It's a matter of, I happen to agree with this, actually. I mean, it sounds pretty chauvinistic, but I think a man needs to feel that his wife respects him.
I don't think that's what it says.
That is what it says. Sorry. Then I think a woman more respectable than yourself, less you
mean. Don't marry out of your class. That's what it says.
Right.
Yeah.
Because why?
She might be a snob. It's focused on her. She might be a snob.
Lest you be unacceptable to her.
Right.
Okay. Want to look at it that way? Yeah.
Back one to the girl's papa. Did you have to inquire on the character of the woman?
Yeah.
Or if you experience the woman in the date enough, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
I don't really buy that. You go to the King David Hotel, you're in the lobby, you're having ice cream.
Yeah.
And then next time you go to the zoo, and next, you know, you got a very public situation. Everyone's on their best behavior. I don't think you have a clue what you're getting. I would think that you have to have someone behind the scenes finding out, you know, does she have a temper, does she quarrelsome, what she like in class, you know, what are the people who are not her friends saying?
So I'm not a proponent of getting engaged after the King David Hotel.
Yeah, okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that you should engage, you should interact enough to see a person in enough situations that you get a really good sense of what the person is like.
But they don't allow that.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think
you're not in a spot where you can really see the real person. I mean, it's almost like you're on show, you're on display.
Yeah, but you don't.
What do you think they talk about? You think they just talk about the weather the whole time?
Well, how do you know if someone has a temper?
What?
How do you know if someone has a temper? How do you know if it quarrels? Is she going to pick up?
You know how much? Do you know how much pressure engagement is? You know, when a couple gets engaged, even before they get engaged, you know, the parents and the pressure and this person having a hard time and that person giving you a hard time and you don't know and decisions, I think you can know a lot about
that
person.
Once you're engaged, you find out.
Even before. I mean, you're talking about very religious families where, you know, they only get allowed to see each other 6-7 times and they have to decide yes or no.
Well, I just don't see that they're in a real life situation where they're
going to
get embraced.
That's a lot. In my circles, people date for a couple of months, and you can see people in many different situations. You know.
I don't think that's what you're talking about here.
No.
You're talking three dates.
You're talking about no dates, right?
No,
right, but it would be a situation where a person, you know, where a person would marry. I think you're right. Would marry out of your status, in a sense, and it would be unpleasant. So the next situation thing that he quotes is. And we're really talking about character. So I don't really know. Not sure why he included that source, to be honest with you, because I don't know how it relates specifically to character. So the Torah tells us a story that when Eliezer went to go find a wife for Rivka, so before he walked into Haran to go find a wife for her, before he found the girl, he made a deal with God. And the deal with God, he said, was, God, you know, I'm going to go out and look for a girl. And the first girl to come, and fill up my, give me water for myself, and give water for all my camels, that's the girl I want. So the question is, did Eliezer do an appropriate thing, or did he do an inappropriate thing? So what happened? We all know what happened. What happened? He comes out, Rivka says, here, drink, gives it all the camels, and he says, that's the one, and it turns out, what do you know, it happens to be Rivka, the exact girl that Abraham wanted for Yitzchak. But did Eliezer do the right thing or not? It says Rabbi Hirsch. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I drink shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give your camels to drink also. Let the same be she that you have appointed for your servant, even for Isaac. The sign by which Eliezer sought to recognize the woman destined for Isaac is a test of character to this very day, whereby to identify a truly Jewish woman. The kindness and love of one's fellow man reflected in one's unhesitating readiness to be helpful anywhere, which was familiar to Eliezer from Abraham's home, and it was this which he sought in the woman who would eventually take over the household. Meaning, you're not allowed to say, you know, God, I'm looking for a sign from heaven, and the next girl to come with a green shirt saying, marry me, that's going to be my wife. And lo and behold, some girl shows up. Right? But he didn't ask for that. He said, I want a girl who's going to be a Balas Chesed. You know, you can even say, you see from the hotel. You know, the girl walks into the hotel. Is she pleasant to the waiter who brings her the Coke? Does she take him for granted? You know, we have a cleaning lady. The cleaning lady is one of these Polish or Hungarian ladies who is supplied by a slave driver or other Hungarian lady who, like, makes a lot of money off of them. And so, somehow, these women come on Friday afternoon, and we really have a good relationship with them because we treat them well. We say please. We say thank you. We always give them something to eat, some food to take home so they'll have dinner for the night. Between you and me, they clean better that way, personally. But even more than that, we treat them like human beings. And the way it seems to me that they react to us, it must be that everywhere else they go, they treat them like dirt. It's just sort of, you know, I don't even look at them. Don't give them the time of day.
Okay, inside. Does she have any dago?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And it's you can tell about a person the way they treat another person. You know, the young man, does he open the door for you? Is he chivalrous? Is he polite? Does he know how to open his mouth and say a sentence? You know what I'm saying? These things are, you would think that they're simplistic, but they say the things that you can learn about a person are probably the most important things that you're going to know about them in even a short period of time. You know, you don't need to go through their whole CD collection to know every single song that they like, but you can tell what kind of person they are, human nature of a person, in a relatively short time. You know, and that, there's a lot of truth to that.
My son-in-law Googled me.
Did he?
And called it one of my papers to me.
See, but you can, then you can know information about you, but you can't know, I mean, you can't really know about your personality.
No,
you really can't. Although they say, it's very interesting, if you had to choose to, you know, to Google you, or I could go look at your bedroom for 10 minutes, what would tell me more about you? Or would you know more about, you know more about the person just by looking around their room or their office for 10 minutes? Right? You go in my office. Am I an organized person? So you'll see the desk is a mess, but everything is kind of organized. You can tell so much about a person in a very short period of time about their personality. So I think that there's something to be said for less dating as opposed to more dating, as we'll see in a second. Okay, skip down to section 7. Life under one roof is not a reliable test. Question, this is from Igros Moshe. May a young man and woman who wish to become acquainted for the purpose of marriage rent two bedrooms in a family's home? So that this is obviously when people, you know, somebody moves to Oak Park and they're looking to rent a room. So the lodgers are looking to make money and they're renting rooms out. So, very nice. So the boy and the girl, they say, listen, we'll both live in the lodger's house and we'll really get to know each other really well. There's no isser, there's no yichud, there's no prohibition, but this is how we'll know. How we know if we're going to get married. Right? Should they do that? What do you say, Harriet?
No.
Why?
My responsibility as their hostess would be horrible.
Should they do it, not should you do it?
Should they do
it? Isn't that a great way to get to know each other?
No. They say that couples, you know, in America who live together before marriage.
No, this couple's not living together. She's not shacking up, as Dr. Lara would put it.
They're living together. They are in the same home.
He was close to the period.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Period. This is somebody who's saying we're going to do it, we're going to live together before marriage without actually...
I just need to know what kind of person she is, like you said, in life situations, and know if it's appropriate, if she's not.
Studies have shown that the co-ed dorms, the males and females who live on the same floor in the same wing,
yeah,
are almost like brothers and sisters, but they will not, they don't date each other, they don't, you know, it's almost like incest there. So living on the same roof to them becomes like that.
Answer. If the prospective landlord knows that they are unmarried, there are grounds for lenience, and there seems to be nothing wrong in her cooking for him either. Such is the formal law. In actual practice, however, I mean, he says it's not us, sir. This is inadvisable, for one should not overdo such examinations. If the woman has a pleasing appearance, comes of a good family, and is reputed to be religiously observant, the suitor should rely on this and marry her in the hope that she is heaven-sent. There's no need to test her beforehand, such tests being worthless, as they prove nothing. Thus, conduct yourself with innocence before the Lord. Right? That a person, you know, you have to have a little faith also. You can't know everything. You can't test for everything. And marriage is that great leap of faith. You're finding somebody. That's right. I just love the way Rav Moshe says it. Right? She comes. She has a pleasing appearance. These are the factors. Pleasing appearance. Good family. Reputed to be the religiously observant. That's enough. Well, you know, okay. And then you have to jump in and make the best of it. Because any more than that, you're really asking too many questions. So now we'll go into some of the problems and questions about Judaism. Page 3. So it's all in Hebrew. Don't be overwhelmed. And I'll explain to you the different stylists that came up for the different postings.
Okay.
Yes.
Before I left there, what can you guys know about me? I tend to, I'll just admit it, I'm a female Dan Rickles. I just, people know that if I like them, they're going to be insulted by me. Please laugh. Don't take it personally.
Okay, Aviva. I never take it personally.
Okay.
Source number one from Igris Moshe. Somebody asked about Moshe. You have a Talmud Chacham, so I'm a very wise man, very studious person, religious person, and he wants to marry a woman. I guess it must have been a woman who had been married before, and she covers her hair. Well, she doesn't cover all of her hair. Meaning, she's not machmir. So is that a problem, or is the fact that she's halachic okay? What do you say, Leah Dasa? So the person tried to find a woman who is more machmir, or should he? Is it okay that she keeps halacha?
No, because how machmir he is.
What?
Yeah.
How machmir he is.
So
Rav Moshe, I'm not going to quote you this one, but Rav Moshe writes, he says, a Talmud Chacham and a person who's Yirei Shemayim, fearful of heaven, should not hold himself back from marrying this woman. Im he says, I'm a Mane, im he Yirei Shemayim, if she's Yirei Shemayim, she's fearful of heaven, she's meticulous in mitzvos, ubaalas midos. She has good midos. Meaning, this is my stock. I said that a woman doesn't have to cover two, you know, whatever. How much hair she doesn't have to cover. That's what I said. So that was the stock, and she keeps the halacha. And you can't criticize her for not being machmir, not following the most stringent shita. And that's appropriate enough for you. That's what Rav Moshe said. He said, go for it. Next. Someone asked Rav Moshe, what about marrying a gioris? Okay? If you had it, meaning, if family is important, this family is important, so if someone doesn't come from the Jewish family, right, so then would that not affect, now also I think, you're talking about someone, let's say for example, you know, you grew up in Oak Park, you went to Yeshiva Gedola, right? So you went to Yeshiva Gedola, they set you up for the mirror. Great, you're in the mirror, you meet some girl, somebody sets you up with some girl who left Kentucky, you know what I'm saying, and she's a nice young girl, and it's a totally different world that you're coming from. So you could see families being uncomfortable in that situation. So is that a problem at all? Okay? Says Rav Moshe. He says, no, she's a total Jew. Okay? He says, Aba Bada Kishri Ruya the Holy Banim Tov Likach Yoter Bas Yisrael Tarei Abanim Domi L'Achi Ha'em. Aba Bada L'Echa Chirosa Lisa Giyores. He says, if someone wants to marry a Giyores, so if you want to have, it's very interesting, he says, if you're worried about having children, so very often, halacha says that children reflect the mother's brother. So if you're worried about that, then you should investigate. But if not, or you're not worried about it, then you should know why she converted. And if you know that she converted for appropriate reasons, then converts have to marry too. And they're great people too. I've even seen opinions that say, very interesting, I saw an opinion here that says, if I'm going to find it, he says some opinions say the other way, that someone who converted has already overcome obstacles to be a religious Jew and made that investment, right, to become Jewish, that person how much more so is invested in Judaism as an appropriate person to marry. Okay, yeah.
Because that was sort of nasty. I don't think a convert really would need to distance himself or herself from their own family to a significant extent. You wouldn't want the children being constantly around the grandparents saying, oh, it's Christmas time, you know. Can't you at least come over and you just don't want to...
All, in my experience, all true converts, the act of conversion is the greatest act of distancing you could possibly imagine. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, they already are cutting themselves off from their previous life in an inalterable way. So they're not going to be celebrating Christmas
I'm not concerned about the convert. I'm concerned about, you know, grandma and grandpa and all the aunts and uncles who are...
Yeah, it's definitely, it's an issue. It's an issue. I would agree that there has to be a certain sensitivity to that. And you have to know, you know, what kind of family you're getting yourself into. Now, I would say also, in my experience, there is no family without skeletons in its closet. You know what I'm saying? So if you're from a family that's 100% Purim and it's been Purim for a zillion generations and you come from Crown Heights, then I would say maybe it wouldn't be advisable for you to marry someone who converted, who has a good relationship with their parents, who are going to, grandma and grandpa are going to come all the time, because that's not the kind of lifestyle you want to lead. As opposed to, you know, you have to be have your eyes open as well. Next question, okay? Should Minchas Yisrael, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, somebody asked the following question. Look at line 25. Im lahatir kesher shiduchin ayidei chshash pugam mishpacha. You got shiduchin, meaning in the old times, when there was shiduchin, we're going to talk about this next week, they had tanayim. Tanayim meant we're engaged. And in order to break it off, there were serious financial consequences. Unless something changed. Somebody lied or changed the deal or whatever. So let's see what happens. He says, Adrara Sheila, Isha Sheba Lefanav, a woman comes before us, Sha'asa Shiduch Imbina. Okay? She made a Shiduch with her son. V'achalea Tanayim, and after the Tanayim, Nizvana Lehem, they found out, Shabino Shalachos Em Shal Hakala, that the cousin of the Kala, Yisa Arelis, Rachman al Islam. Okay? That they found out, her son got engaged to a girl. And they found out that the Kala's cousin is going to intermarry. So now they want to know, right? And we know, so we know from the cousin and the Kala, right? We know that their families are not 100% religious. But now the cousin wants to intermarry, so they want to know, can they break the shidduch after the Tanayim without the financial consequences? What do you think?
No, you have to do with what?
What if her father was going to intermarry?
Mm-hmm. Oh, her father chose a second wife?
Yeah.
It's still not her.
So actually, the halakha is the following. If it's immediate, if it's, I think, one or two generations, definitely one, then you could break off the marriage, because that does have a direct impact. But anything more distant than that, he says, anything more, a cousin, what is it, like Harry said, what does a cousin have to do with this marriage? Especially since they knew beforehand that the families weren't 100% friends. Even though it's a terrible thing that a person should intermarry, nonetheless, you can't break off the marriage because of that. So he says, Lamaisa, therefore, Hakol Talib Ra'os Ein Hamore. Im Achitrin Nasis Yafos. If it's a good shidduch, so the Rav, after looking after Shaila, so the Rav has to look at the family. If the girl's a good girl and the boy's a good boy, so now you want to break it off because her cousin's getting intermarried? That doesn't really make so much sense. He said he shouldn't do that. Next question.
It's the same.
What?
How about her brother?
What happens? Because next question. Somebody asked Rabbi Weiss the following question. Very interesting question. Let's say you have the following case. The Tanayim took place. Okay? The girl and the boy got engaged. And then he decided he didn't want to be religious anymore. What?
That's a major thing.
Didn't tell anybody. Goes off to, I don't know, India for a month. Does what he does. Comes back and decides, I want to be religious again. And then the girl finds out about it afterwards.
All during this one engagement?
Yeah, sure. He's going to get married in 3 months. Right? The boy has a crisis. I don't want to be religious anymore. I don't want to marry her. By the way, this happens more than you, whether you can imagine. Right? Because... Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that next week. Tanayim is next week. What are Tanayim now? What were Tanayim back then? Et cetera, et cetera. But, so, is that, now he's the same kid, right? Is that enough of a reason to break off the shiva?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's finished. You know, from today, he wants to be religious, next day he wants. What guarantees you that... And 2 months from now, he's decided again.
No, he's sure. He went, he did whatever he was going to do. He doesn't want it. He's 100% sure.
Yes,
that's
a good enough
to break it up. So Rabbi Weiss agrees with Eddie, but not for the same reason. He says, I think, even though he did tshuva, since he, you know, when you get engaged to someone, you think you're getting engaged to a certain person from a certain family. Right, so now all of a sudden, if this guy is going to go ahead and run around and have a good time and then decide all of a sudden I want to be friend again, that's not the guy you wanted to get engaged to. And therefore, he says, I think you can break off the marriage. Okay, he says, lav dav behimer, even if he didn't decide he wanted to be firm, ela apim kil til nas abasharin yonet, he deviated, he changed the person, and they became a different person. If you get engaged to someone and then they change, you could break off the engagement, he says. Why? Because that wasn't part of the deal. Next question. Very fascinating question.
Divorced if a person
changed. No. Once you get married, the marriage, unless they lie to you during the wedding. I'm going to read this to you in a second.
What is
the situation? Well, let me do the next one. Next question. Okay? The Inyan line 70. Mishuzdechet charedit, shenoda she'eno bas Yisrael. Ha'im yodilu la, se'tricha tzvila le'geirus. So the following case, okay? Line 76. Adasa she'ila she'ba lefano. So this rabbi had a question that came before him. A Jew married a non-Jewish woman after World War II. She abra ba'avonaseinu harabim, right? She got pregnant. But no love, you know, mimena bas, and then they had a daughter. U'b'shas le'idasa me'cha ha'nachris. And during childbirth, this non-Jewish woman, as she was giving birth, she died during childbirth. And then, v'hu chazer b'tshuva. So he came back to Yiddishkeit. V'nasa Yisraeli shomeres Torah u'mitzvos kahodian. And he married another woman, right, who was shomer Torah u'mitzvos. V'habas nizgadba v'avir ha'charedis v'yoter. So he raised his daughter in the Haredi community. And he, what did he do?
He went to marry her off.
He never told her that she was not Jewish. But he erased Shemayim, the Tachlis. She's a firm girl. But nobody ever told her, oh, by the way, the woman who gave birth to you wasn't technically Jewish. She has no idea of her origin. But now, right now, she's now engaged. She didn't go to the mikvah for Geirus. And her relatives and her people who know her, obviously, I don't know how many people they told, to be honest with you, I don't know. If you tell her that she has to go to the mikvah to convert, aside from the problem that, you know, the guy's going to call it off, he writes shanikmo, she's very sensitive, and it will affect her health. Do you have to tell her? Do you have to tell the boy or not? Dennis? Of course you have to tell her. That's what he says. He says, very interesting, he says, the rabbi who wrote this question, You wrote a Megillah 12-page letter with all the proofs. You gave me all the core sources from Shastri Poskim. You showed him in Achronim. He says, Amnam, but Machmas Goro Hatirda. He says, because I'm too busy. I can't get into it. He says, but he says, I'll tell you. If this question came to me, I would say you have to tell her. A, if you wanted to be, you know, conversion isn't an accident. You can't say, well, she lived her whole life like a Jew, that's good enough. No, you have to convert. So you're hurting this poor girl by not telling her that she needs conversion. Okay? Moreover, of course you have to tell the chasan. Then, because if you don't tell the chasan, you know, like, that's how you marry off your daughter. And then you find out, oh, by the way, whoops, forgot to tell you one small thing. What? You
married a
non-Jew. Yeah, oh, whoops. Our bad.
I tell you a funny story. I'm building a house for a woman whose brother-in-law just hired a genealogist for a lot of money to do a family tree.
Really?
To prove that his mother wasn't Jewish, so he doesn't have to be Jewish anymore. I just heard this.
So he doesn't have to be Jewish anymore?
Yeah. He's trying to prove that his mother wasn't Jewish. So I said, when I heard this, I said, so don't be Jewish.
Yeah.
He's spending all this money.
And what's the answer?
I don't know yet.
The answer? No, no. Why is he doing it? Don't be Jewish. This is America. You do what you want.
He hates his mother. I don't know.
Now, the answer is, if you're Jewish, then you got to be Jewish. You understand? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That must be his attitude. If I am, then that's what I am. I can't not be Jewish. But I guess if you could prove, can you prove it? I'm curious. That's
I don't know. But he's spending a lot of money to
find out. You should know, by the way, these cases come up a lot. You know, it's not so long ago, and the adoptions were all sealed. Field adoptions, and you have children, and the person says, yeah, I was adopted, so did your parents convert you or not? I don't know. and you call a synagogue in Texas and ask them, do you have records from a conversion in 1957? And they just like laugh at you. You know, are you kidding?
Records?
No. Oh yeah, what records do we have?
Not even in that location anymore.
What records does young Israel of Greenfield have?
Israel divide.
Well, Detroit has the fortune of having a central office, but in many towns, you lived in Lubbock, Texas, and there was an Orthodox synagogue in Lubbock, Texas. I'm sure there was, because way back when there were Orthodox synagogues in towns across America. You know, I was just talking to somebody from Israel who called me, who grew up in Newton, Massachusetts, and we were talking about Newton and Malden, and these were like kickdowns. You know what I'm saying? It was just nothing.
Alpena has
exactly. So there are so many issues that come up with people, and it tears your heart out because you want to help them, but you can't. Yeah.
Can you convert
infants? If the parents are Shomrei Torah, are Torah observant, and they commit to raising children in the tradition of the Torah, you're allowed to Yisgayer al Das Beis Din. The Beis Din will permit the parents to convert that child as an infant. And they're raised in 100% Jewish. Yeah, as an infant.
If you're a boy, I can understand this because there's bris.
No, girls in the mikvah. The girls easier. Don't care? You're in. And then they affirm their Judaism, they affirm their Judaism when they're bar mitzvah, and they're 100% Jewish. You know, it's easier to convert a child when they are minor as opposed to when they're older. Once a child is older, it's much, much harder. I got to give you the last case. Last case is a very interesting one. The halacha says the following. I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says the following. Okay? One of the prohibitions, remember you brought up, what's a mamzer? So the halacha is a mamzer is only someone we said have an adulterous relationship or an incestuous relationship. What about a prohibited relationship? So let's say, for example, a man is not permitted to live with a woman who's a nida, who has not gone to the mikvah. So what about a child who is the product of that union? So the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch says, Ezohi mamzer, what is a mamzer? Zeh abam me'echas b'kol arayos, one who lives with one of the prohibited relationships, like your sister, your mother, or your mother's sister. There's a whole list of them. You can look them up, and if you need to look them up, then we have issues. Okay? Okay? Chutz mehaba minida. Aside from a child, the product of a man who lives with a woman is a nida. Sha'af apishahu pagum. Remember that word, pagum. Pagum means blemished in some way. Eino mamzer. A feeling of it's not a mamzer. So, and all the opinions say it's not a pagum, it's not a blemish vis-a-vis halacha. A kohen can marry this woman. But there's something, if a child was created out of a sexual union that was prohibited, there's something there. So now, what question do you have? You know, thank God, especially nowadays, there's a gazillion Balei Tshuva. So what do you do with all these products of these, you know, Jewish families? You know, the parents are Reform. They never heard of mikvah. Even they heard of mikvah, they should not go to the mikvah. So every child's relate is a product of that relationship. So it ends up there's a minority opinion and a majority opinion. The minority opinion is articulated by the Minchas Yitzchak, again, Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss. He says, listen, I don't want to close the door for Balei Tshuva, and I don't think that a person shouldn't marry someone because of this situation. He says, but, I'm in page 4, if you're interested in following. Okay, he says, but I think, okay, You have to tell the chassan. I mean, what's the situation where the chassan doesn't know that this is a halacha? He doesn't know. Wonderful young girl. You have to tell the chassan that this is a halachic issue, and let him make a decision. If he wants to make a decision, that's up to him. He's allowed to marry her, but he has to be aware that this is a factor.
So they tend to go Balei Tshuva should marry Balei Tshuva.
For this reason.
I just wondered if that's where it came from.
It could be for this reason. Yeah, it could be for this reason. But I would say for a different reason. Because Balei Tshuva, it is a tremendously, I mean, I don't know this, I only know this from the Balei Tshuva that I deal with. There's a lot of trauma involved because of, there's a sense of rejection on the part of their families. Let's say a Jewish family. So they get together for Thanksgiving and they're having a safe turkey. So now the Balei Tshuva has to go and have their own turkey with the paper plates and the thing and the what? Yeah, see, but that's there's a trauma, right? So now if somebody's going to marry somebody from the front family and bring them into that. They don't, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole different experience. Or let's say someone's about to, and the family celebrates the holidays. Yeah, but they don't have, they have a holiday tree. That, you know, there are many, many, many Jews who have Christmas trees. Why? Because it's Christmas. I don't believe in the religion, but they have Christmas trees. Presents, it's fun, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? So there is what to be shed for someone who's about to, but understanding what this person is going through. As opposed to, oh, well, go to my family. What's the problem? No, it's a problem. You have to be a certain personality. Yeah, Dorora?
Well, somebody told me the other day, they have a Christmas tree. It's just a decoration.
It's just a decoration. So do they also have a menorah, Hanukkah menorah?
I don't think so.
At the very least, they should have that decoration, too. They should have decoration, all decoration, light the candles. No? Why did you celebrate only the other religion? Celebrate the religion, too. Okay, so Rav Moshe Feinstein had a different perspective. Now, we cannot negate the halacha that says the Shulchan Aruch. He says Rav Moshe took it from a totally different perspective. He says, "Im yesh li noa milisa isha, should I not marry a woman? Shechoshishin, I'm worried he bash hanida." Right? That she's the daughter of Anida. V'hinei tenua ubalas nida sova. She's a wonderful girl. So Rav Moshe says, you know, how do you know she was the daughter of Anida? Well, if answer reform, a mother never went to the mikvah. This is what Rav Moshe says. Okay, Rav Moshe says the following. Let me see one second. He says, nonetheless, 62. See what the bold is? Okay. Mikom machom, nonetheless, kishalo yadu avadai, if you don't know for sure that she was the daughter of Anida, you don't really, you're not going to ask her parents, you know. Yeshon lishmach she'ena bas nida. Maybe she's not a daughter of Anida. Ella Isha Shinoda Beheter. Perhaps she was born Beheter, permissibly. How? Tatilas Bida Ain't Sicha Kavano Bitaher. Because it's possible for a woman to go to the mikvah and not have the intention of going to the mikvah. How could a woman go to the mikvah and not have the intention? Shalachain, the 665, Huvada Dabra Hamatsui, it's possible. Shebashar Shikvar Abu Yumei Tumas. So let's say a woman, she had her menstruation. Shahaya Galya Kaple Shmayer, Rachel Bayam, Ubagamin. Maybe she went swimming in the lake. Maybe she went to the ocean. Is the ocean a kosher mikvah? Maybe she went to the beach. Saying Mayanos, Ubinaharos, Minitara. And then maybe after that, that's when this child was conceived.
Well, she didn't say
a doesn't matter. She did it without kabbalah, without proper intention. It still counts. So he says, like Moshe, he says, how do you know she was the daughter of Anida? Maybe she wasn't. Everybody used to go to the beach, right? Everybody used to go swimming in the lake. Ah, she's wearing a bathing suit? Okay, there's another cool lady swimming in there also. That it wasn't a chachicha, it wasn't... You know what I'm saying? So Rav Moshe said, if you're worried about that, then you better know for sure that she was the daughter of Anida, because if you don't, maybe she wasn't. And in that way, he says, yes, the Shulchan Aruch says what it says. He says, but, and it also, the problem was, if you were afraid that this was a pagam, that this was a blemish in her, there are other manifestations. Is she stubborn? Is she mean-spirited? Is she nasty? Because that's really what you're worried about. So if you don't have any of those signs, so maybe really her mother did go to the lake and swim in at the ocean home, you know, right before she big child was conceived. Right, in February, right? But so you see, it's so interesting that Rav Moshe was using a creative, a very creative approach to be sympathetic to these Balei Tshuva. Instead of saying, he can't say the Shulchan Aruch is wrong. He will never say that. But what he says is, yeah, the Shulchan Aruch is right. But how do you know this is that case? And if you don't know, have a good time. Go get married. If she's the right girl for you, then Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you Hatzlacha. All right, next week we'll start to speak about Hanayim.